Welcome to episode 298 of In Touch with iOS, the show that talks about iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, Apple TV, and related technologies. I am your host, Dave Ginsberg, and I am thrilled to have my first-time guest, Marty Gentius. How you doing, Marty? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing great. It's near the end of the week for me, and that always makes it wonderful. And three of my favorite new friends.
Yeah.
I get to spend time with y'all.
Yeah, so I'm so excited you're able to join us first time for the show. We're going to find out a little bit more about you. That's our normal thing we do when we have new guests on the show here in a little bit. But, of course, our other usual suspects are here. Jeff Kamet is here. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Dave, as always, it's awesome to get to hang out with you and everyone else.
Absolutely. And last but certainly not least, Ben Rathick is here. How you doing, Ben?
Good, Dave. I don't think we have ever been accused of ever being usual.
This is true.
So, okay, yeah, that's fair.
It is fair. But we got some massive amount of stories to talk about this week as we go on the air here recording. The DOJ this morning announced about a lawsuit against Apple we'll talk about, and we're going to find a little bit more about Marty, and there's just so much stuff to talk about this week, but like we always do, go to the topics and let's talk about beta. There's still no beta, which is, are we going on 3 weeks now that there's no beta? This is like unheard of in Apple's world. So we're still at 17.4, but we're now at 17.4.1. That just got released today as we record. So it did come out and I just installed it myself here. And it is interesting to see what Apple has actually released. There was some minor updates to it. According to the updates, as far as the bug about what it has, is the security fixes, updates, and bug fixes. Ben, have you seen anything as far as what it did?
I haven't personally. Honestly, it kind of seems like one of those knee scope kind of updates. Yeah. Really minor, but it's stuff that just didn't have time to get in the initial release with the good old DMA preparation.
Yeah, seems like it. And I do see that there was another update. Oh, yeah. I thought that they'd done some fixes with the QR codes. There was a scanning code. There was an issue with QR code scanning on the iPad OS. So when they released that for the iPad, it addressed a bug that could prevent certain iPads from being able to scan QR codes. So that's interesting to see. I don't know anybody like. I am not a big person like can hold up my iPad up to be scanning things. But there's still people doing out there doing that. And Marty, you said it's in the midst of updating right now, right?
Yeah, it's sitting on my desktop updating, and when we're done recording, I'll go downstairs and load Vision 1.1.1 because that got an update too with some slight security issues. With all these updates, I hope Apple is taking some serious steps and bringing us more emojis. We need more emojis.
We do.
Yes.
Have you been using emojis? I'm the Vision Pro, so I'd like to know.
Oh, no, not at all. I have my eyes, they're too little teeny to make up, and then people will put it together with some secret message. It's like, just type it.
Yeah. Jeff, did you get yours updated?
I'm partway through updates. I still need to update an iPad and my Apple TV.
Okay. But, yep. Same here.
Busy
day here.
Yeah, busy day.
But so like Marty mentioned, the Vision OS 1.1.1 bug fixes were there as well. And we've got some definitely interesting ways as far as updates go. I will say it is mentioned in Mac Rumors article we have it linked here that they're saying that 17.5 is likely to be in testing in the near future, but they're saying the next 2 weeks, so we could go 5 weeks here without a beta. Wow, that's not normal for Apple. They're usually like right on top of these things. So I guess we'll find out where that goes. But 17.4.1.
I have a hypothesis.
I would like you to share it.
My hypothesis is that we're not seeing any of these other betas coming out because everything that Apple's working on for iOS and iPadOS right now is focused on the imminent release of the next gen iPad.
Yeah.
So that's the updates that are coming out are specific for the new models.
Yes. Go ahead, Ben.
That, and I think they wanted to have everybody on deck in case EU told them they had to make very imminent changes to iOS because of the aforementioned DMA.
Yeah, that does make sense. I can see that. So it's gonna be interesting to see where that goes. We're definitely going to be watching that closely to see what happens. But yeah, go out and get your updates. And there's some security fixes in there, so I think it's important enough that you should go out there, get that update installed on all your devices, and keep up to date with that. So let's find a little bit more out about Marty Jensius. I know he's a big Apple guy, which is great. He fits in so well with us. We met at MacStock. I believe it was it last year or the year before? I think we met before when you spoke last year.
2 to 3 years back.
Maybe the I don't know if you were at the 2022, and then while we're still in the midst of the pandemic, but
yep.
You were there. That's right. So yeah, tell us a little about you as far as your Apple experience. And I know you're a professor at Kent State University, and
right.
Please tell us a little bit about you and what makes you tick with Apple.
Yeah, well, I'm a professor at Kent State University. My field is counseling and also sort of learning theory and learning. And I got interested in technology a long time ago. And so what I write about is tech and its interface in terms of teaching and how to find new devices and new software and how it can benefit instruction and also the practice of counseling, of providing counseling services. So I kind of delved into Apple when I was doing a podcast, and then I heard about Apple having these enhanced podcasts back in 2006. And they were essentially audio that you could attach JPEGs to. And I thought, this is a portable instructional purpose. So I borrowed a PowerBook G4 and made a couple of enhanced podcasts with the G4. And then the first one I actually bought was in 2006. It was the Black Mac, the polycarbonate.
Oh yeah,
Black Mac.
I had the white. I had the white one.
Yeah, so that was kind of my first device. Now, since then, I've owned pretty much every new device that's come along. I buy them and trade them and sell them and upgrade. And I'm lucky enough to have that. So
yeah.
I'm working off a Studio Ultra with three monitors, and one of them being an Apple Studio monitor. I have a MacBook Pro M3. I have a MacBook Air M3 that I use going back and forth to work. I've got a Mac Mini M2 at work that I purchased for myself because the university would not do it. And then I have a iMac M1 that the wife uses in the other room. I had four iPads up until about 2 weeks ago and turned them all in for gift certificates with anticipation of just buying one M3 iPad when they come out next week. I've got an Apple Watch Ultra, a Series 9, an iPhone 15 Pro Max, various Apple TVs scattered throughout the house, two HomePods, and three HomePod minis, and then AirPods Pro 2 and AirPod Max. And oh yeah, I got the Apple Vision Pro on release date. So
yes, you did. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it seems I'm very parallel with you. I don't have all of those devices, but I'm pretty close and I'm very tempted. I have an M2 MacBook Air that I'm going to probably give in and trade in for the M3. I know probably I'm crazy, but it's got a nice trading value. So, and then the M3 is going to have some minor updates, but yeah, what the heck? I've got that as my travel device because I use my M1 Pro MacBook Pro here with me for production here. So, but yeah, you're going to fit on this to show up not quite nicely. what we talk about here. So it's just a thrill for you to have you on and talk about what we talk about every week with the Apple and all the stuff that we have here. So. But yeah, please welcome. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So I mean, I see myself as a consumer, pro consumer, and
you are.
Some of the stuff that I do obviously is for my work, including podcasting and some video editing. So I'm using tools that most of my colleagues aren't using, but I really enjoy the Mac platform.
Yeah, we all do. Well, I'll do. So again, welcome. We appreciate you being here. We're going to have a lot of fun there tonight, as we are already. So talking about fun, the big story, this was announced this morning as we record this. The DOJ has an antitrust lawsuit that's against Apple. This is a civil suit, and it's going to be for an illegal monopoly over smartphones. This is in The Verge here. The U.S. Justice Department of Justice accuses Apple of operating in an illegal monopoly in the smartphone market and in its expansive new antitrust lawsuit to seek to upend many of the ways Apple locks down iPhones. The DOJ, along with 16 state and district attorney generals, accuse Apple of driving up prices for consumers and developers at the expense of making users more reliant on its phones. The parties allege that Apple selectively imposes contractual restrictions on developers and withholds critical ways of accessing the phone as a way to prevent competition from arising, according to the release. So this is absolute ludicrous crazy, in my opinion. I haven't had a chance to go through a lot of the details. That just kind of sums up what we're looking at here. So I'm going to start with Jeff. I'm curious to see where your thoughts have been on this whole crazy thing this morning when this was announced.
Okay, well, let's start with, I'm not an attorney, but I have played one on stage.
I've seen you.
Clearly qualified.
Yeah.
All right, so when I saw the headlines, the eye roll that I did, I was afraid was going to send me to the emergency room with detached retinas. Luckily, I'm not blind.
Yeah.
But okay, so then I started looking at the news and the Verge article that you're referencing. I've read through that. I have not had a chance to read through the entire filing because that takes a lot of time and, quite frankly, energy I don't want to spend right now.
88 pages.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's a fascinating read, and I'm actually not saying that tongue-in-cheek. But here's the deal. From what I've been reading, it really feels to me like the DOJ is just doing like a high profile thing right now. And a lot of the arguments that they're using, it really felt like a deja vu thing to me. And then I finally realized, oh yeah. This sounds a lot like when the DOJ went after Microsoft all those years ago. And I mean, seriously, it feels in many ways like it's just a rehash of that case. And they just did a copy and paste, change Microsoft for Apple and an iPhone for Internet Explorer. And I'm not seeing where a lot of these complaints, at least with the information that I've been able to get through so far, I'm not seeing where these complaints are actually valid. And I'm having a hard time with the blocking developers and users from being able to have ways to put these other things on their phones or their devices. It feels to me like, I'll give you an example. What if the DOJ filed a lawsuit against Tesla because they don't let you install a different car operating system on the on their cars?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this feels like to me. I think that the DOJ is going to have to work very hard to have a case that will hold up under the scrutiny of a trial. Now, that said, there's a lot that I probably don't know right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as these things come to light, maybe I will change my opinion. But with the information available to me right now, I'm not feeling like the DOJ is going to go into court with a slam dunk case here.
Yeah, I don't think so either. How about you, Marty? What do you think about this?
I'm just trying to figure out the motivation for it at this time. I think, well, maybe stuff's brewing up in the EU and the US decided to try and do some similar arguments. And it's coming from, I guess, 17 different states' attorneys have signed on to it.
Yeah.
The other thing, Jeff, that I heard in reference to the Microsoft case is that It's a little different. Microsoft was really centered around Internet Explorer and the restrictions of Internet Explorer. There's a lot more in this case of what they see as restrictions. Unfortunately, as an Apple consumer, all the things that made them popular and secure, I think are at risk now. And
I do agree with you on that.
And I think it's, you know, it's a process of government coming in and screwing things up, or potentially screwing things up.
Yeah. I'll tell you the states. I can give you that real quickly. It's Arizona, California, Connecticut, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New York, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Oregon, Tennessee, Vermont, Wisconsin, as well as DC. So those are the states that jumped in on this so far. So that's definitely going to be interesting. How about you, Ben?
You know, having to seen this, listen to a few opinions on it, it's a very, shall we say, weak argument from the Department of Justice, which says one of two things to me. Number one, take a look at, if you look at our Attorney General, we have someone who is highly respected by the ABA, someone who was a very respected candidate for the United States Supreme Court. This is not the kind of legal case that you would expect to come out of this Department of Justice, which may suggest the DOJ plans to, or that it's actually the DOJ's plans that this case is swiftly lost. Why would that be? Okay, do you remember a couple months ago when you had the whole, God, what was the name of that Android app that hacked into to iMessage?
Oh, right. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that was referred from the Senate Antitrust Subcommittee to the DOJ. Well, here's the thing. Within certain political circles, you would have to see, there would have to be proof that a law does not function in the way you need it to for additional laws to be passed. I think they're trying this under the Sherman Act to explicitly show that current OSs really do not, or in computer operating systems, really do not apply within the current framework. And I think this is kind of the step towards Congress basically command C, command V with the DMA.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ben, you're thinking that DOJ is trying to set a precedent to push for a change in legislation that addresses modern technology in a way the Sherman Act is completely incapable of doing. Is that a good summary?
Correct. This is political maneuvering.
Is it pushback because the government can't get into Apple products for data and for information because the security is there? Or
honestly, I think there are very valid reasons for wanting Apple to open up a little bit, the same reasons that the EU had for the DMA. Quite frankly, as a gamer, right now, the App Store just does not do it for me. You have two very, very large platforms that have gone far beyond the original scope of what they were to a general computing device that right now, quite frankly, the hardware is held back a little bit by the software, especially with the iPad.
Yeah.
I'm seeing in the classroom, in the chat room, Cletus is asking about the Sherman Act. So I'm just going to drop it in real fast so that everyone's up to speed. The Sherman Act it's actually the Sherman Antitrust Act. And it's a collection of laws that govern monopolies, illegal monopolies, and antitrust in general. And part of the problem we're having right now is that these laws predate the 20th century. So we're talking about laws that at this point are 140 years old, I guess, about something like that.
Yeah.
So they're sorely out of date.
Yeah. These laws predate the SOS.
Yeah.
But it's, I think the end game here is that the U.S. wants a DMA.
Yeah. That could be the motivation, really, because the EU has been doing it. It's been all over the press. We've been talking about it. It's now a done deal with 17.4. Why wouldn't it be a motivation to maybe, making Apple have to open here in the United States too?
Yep. And I have one other thing here.
Yeah, sure.
If Apple's not going to lose this case, but if they were, what the DOJ is asking for actually exceeds the DMA. So I wonder if they're not looking for a settlement.
Well, I mean, when you're negotiating, you always ask for more than you want, and then hopefully you get what you initially wanted. So sure, ask for way more and then see where it takes you.
So what is the settlement?
Well, pretty much the settlement would be Apple adopts what are the current EU DMA terms in the United States.
But without requiring legislation to make it happen?
Correct. Or protracted legal case where Apple, if they lose, could theoretically be broken up.
Yeah. It's quite possible. Boy, this is a continuing story here, and it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. Because, boy, never thought this would ever happen with this kind of activity.
And I'm not sure Apple's competitors should be cheering about this because they'll be coming after them next. So,
yeah, Google might be next, possibly.
Google just actually had to adhere to a rather large settlement, which did, in fact, require them to open up their payment system and basically keep out of the way of any third-party app stores.
Right. All right. Well, unless we have anything else, that was quite an interesting discussion here because I haven't talked about this. This is kind of an important one. Of all the times we joke about lawsuits, this one is pretty serious. And so we got to stay aware of it here. So, but let's want to move on, have a little more fun discussion here. I found this interesting. I've been a user of these wireless Apple CarPlay adapters. I've got one from Carlin. That was one of the more popular ones. This one here is interesting. It's a Cuarco is the brand, and it's a wireless Apple CarPlay adapter. And I'm telling you, the price is insane. You can get it as low a price as around $60. Oh. And this is a wireless dongle that allows you to really have a revolutionary way of plugging and playing and being able to go in there and plug into your existing CarPlay system that's in your car. It does have a slim profile. It does give you a USB as well, USB-A as well as USB-C connection. So those who have the newer cars, it goes with 2017 cars and older and newer, which is pretty much that's what's been the standard for quite a while here. So I'm telling you, these are some great dongles that are out there. I of course had to buy one because it was so cheap. And I feel like you, Marty, you buy all the Apple gear. I buy all the smaller stuff, but this is something that I think is important to have because I just couldn't stand having to plug my wire into my phone every time to connect my CarPlay in my car. So,
Dave, when did you buy it? And I'm asking because
it's sitting on my porch right now that I'm thinking of.
Did you get the extra 20% off?
I did, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So And those, Marty, do you have CarPlay in your car?
I have CarPlay in my car. I do it by plugging my phone in every time. Okay. So this might be an option.
Like an
I was looking. Yeah, I know.
Like
I'm
animal.
Primitive.
Yeah,
I'm primitive. I plug things in directly. So I've been looking at it, a little concerned about the delay or the latency with it.
Hasn't been any.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I might push the button. I've got it open. I've got Amazon open on my screen right now. So I'll give it a try.
Yeah. I have a link in the show notes for this. Use our link here. It actually supports the show. So that I've got the Amazon link there that'll give us a little bit of support. So please use that and where it says order from Amazon. It's a great little adapter. I think it's something that's super important to take a look at and check it out. Cause like I said, I've been using the Garland one for a while. Only complaint I have with that one is the fact that sometimes it doesn't connect to the phone right away because it interfaces. It's part of the device when you plug it into your car. It works with Bluetooth, but sometimes it just sits and it's always stuck waiting for it to connect. And sometimes I've had to turn Bluetooth off and on. And most of the time it works okay, but I'm going to be interesting to see how this one works. I bet I could almost be for its price. Check this one out. Like I said, sitting on my porch right now, I just saw it came in a few minutes ago. So I didn't, I would have had another unboxing like I've done in the past here. So go ahead and check this out here. Let's move on to some of the news here. I'm going to start with the iPod, some of the iPad news. There's been a lot of rumors about the fact of when Apple is going to release iPads. It's been rumored back and forth of the where and the why. I trust Mark Gurman probably more than anybody because we've had a lot of rumors. And earlier this week, I was going to talk about this Chinese blogging site Weiblo that was claiming that they're going to be making an Apple an iPad related announcement next Tuesday, March 26th, suggesting an actual release of an iPads. But Mark Gurman basically has waited, and basically he went to Twitter and I'm sorry, X, then said not true. Because according to the Mac Rumors article, that it is not going to happen, and for him to say that is pretty solid, in my opinion. And and he seems to think there is no specific claims of his own relating to the launch date. The new iPad Pro and iPad Air models are going to be in the works, but they're looking at a general time frame, probably around the end of March or April. So. He did give us a little more clarity of the timing when during his last newsletter this past week, saying it will ship. The Apple's going to be shipping the variant of iPad OS 17.4, which will ship with the new iPad models. It goes along with your hypothesis there, Jeff, about why they're holding back on 17.5. That the timing that Gurman says will take the things into a deeper next month for the launch of the new iPads. Although who knows, we might hear something newer. Because you know they're going to also probably release a new. They have to release a new Magic Keyboard, as well as a new Apple Pencil, which you've been talking about before.
But only if the form factors change.
That's true, and which they've been talking about. So Marty, you just traded. You said you just sold a bunch of yours and got you got all saved up. And
yeah, and
what's your opinion on this?
You just burst my bubble.
No. Well, you were going to read it eventually.
Next week is spring break. I've got kind of the week that I can cruise. I was going to get up and get ready on Tuesday morning, and now I can just stay in bed, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, so, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because you would have found out sooner or later. Any other thoughts on this, Jeff, with the rumors?
Yeah, if Mark Gurman is saying nope to the 26th, that's good enough for me. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Apple does, and whatever it is, I bet I will want it. But here's the thing. Since the pandemic started and the way we all work has changed so much, my need for an iPad Pro isn't what it was. So, I mean, for me, my iPad Pro is like a content creation and editing tool. So how long can this one go before I need to replace it for the things I use it for? Anyhow, that's a long-winded way of saying, I bet I will covet this new iPad. Will I need to buy it? Well, I guess we'll know in April.
This is true.
I will hold it up and tease you mercilessly, Jeff.
I would expect nothing less.
Damn you, Mark Gurman.
How about you, Ben? Less words on this.
Okay. I mean, to be perfectly honest, iPad OS can't use most of the power of the M1, let alone the M2 or an M3. Mm-hmm. When they come out with one, it's going to be something that has enough of a spec jump where you have to have it. I'm starting to wonder if they're just dragging out the life cycle on these.
Yeah.
Where it's basically just not a priority right now.
Yeah.
Well, there is the whole Vision Pro thing.
Yeah, there's that too. All right. Let's go ahead and move on and talk a little bit about, go into some of the other news here that's going on here. Let me start with the talks between Apple and Google with the AI partnership. We talked about this last week. The New York Times was weighing in and actually talking about that this is going to happen. If everybody doesn't remember, it was reported that Apple is in talks with Google about licensing its Gemini technology to power some of the AI's features to the iPhone. New report in the New York Times is echoing the claims and citing that three people with the knowledge is saying it. So they're actually saying this is ongoing, and we're going to continue on with this. Any more thoughts on that, Ben? When we talked about this from last week, I just wanted to make sure we hit this again.
Yeah, I'm going to steal a theory here from Jason Snell on Upgrade.
Okay.
Excuse me. There will be a Apple LLM that will be kind of the control LLM.
Mm-hmm.
Then for stuff it's not able to do or kind of needs a little bit more power than what's on device, it'll kick stuff out anonymously to partner LLMs like Gemini or ChatGPT for kind of like the heavy lifting stuff in a way that you'll see stuff. Well, the way Siri works now, it kind of like you'll get different search results from different providers that are kind of just plugged into it.
Marty, what are your thoughts on this? Have you taken a look at this? And what do you think that with Google's Gemini working with Apple on this?
Well, I've done some presentations on AI, I think.
Right.
And because of that, I've been trying to follow it closely. And when the discussion first came out, Apple's sunk in sort of as a dark horse. People are saying, oh, they're way behind the times. I think they've been working on this longer. They just haven't been public about it. And in the sense that they purchased up smaller AI companies to be able to do different functions makes me think that it's not going to be an all-in-one source. But as Ben is saying and Jason Snell has considered, I think it's going to be curated, though. I think Apple wants to make sure whatever's coming back is good information. So they're going to look at sources that are reliable sources in that process. And I think that's part of their plan. But I don't think it's going to be just one big Apple closed system. But I think they're going to be very careful about what gets through the wall.
Yeah, for sure. How about you, Jeff? What do you think on this?
I think, and I'll preface this with, I'm fully prepared to be completely wrong on this one. But that said, I think that what's happening here is being misinterpreted by some of the people that are putting out the reports. When you're creating whatever your whole AI thing is, you don't have to do a partnership or license deal where you're actually using the other company's complete resources, like sending requests out to OpenAI or Gemini. You can license the models. And so basically what you're doing is let someone else do all of the initial training, and then you take that as a module, and then you bring it in-house and run it in your systems. So you're not sending your content out to someone else. My guess is that Apple is doing something like that. And then the idea that Apple has fallen behind all of their competitors in this space, and that's why they're having to do partnerships with Google. I think a lot of these people are completely missing that Apple has been deep in AI and providing us with AI tools that we use on a daily basis for years now. What Apple hasn't been doing is the flashy tool, the LLM thing, where you put in a query, and most people don't know how to put a query in to get a useful answer. So you just get the whatever, you know, like so many people complaining about ChatGPT doesn't give them something that's actually useful. Well, it's because, as Marty did a great job of pointing out at Max Stock last year, if you don't know how to craft your queries, you're not going to get the type of response that's actually useful for you. But anyhow, I think this is more about licensing models to use in Apple's own systems, as opposed to partnering to use someone else's system with an Apple front end.
Makes sense. All right. Well, like I said, we'll keep reporting on this and find out more as we go. And we'll also, as Marty on another time here, we'll talk about AI some more, because this continues to grow every day. And we're always hearing something that's different with that. So let's hit a couple more news stories here. Apple is starting to roll out a new firmware upgrade to the AirTag. It's been the first update since October of 2023. The build came out this week, and it's a new firmware version 2.0.73. And so they upped it with some quote unquote bug fixes and other improvements, as we always hear. There is no word of what is going to be in the firmware just yet. Apple has a support document on AirTag updates as release notes, but so far they have not put any information in there as what this is, other than the bug fixes and improvements. So be aware, it's coming out there, and it'll get updated. You won't even know pretty much. So I don't think there's much else to say about that. Another interesting thing that's happened this week is YouTube TV is now going to gain multi-view support on the iPhone and the iPad. It didn't have that before. YouTube TV subscribers can now watch several programs at once on the iPhone and the iPad. Now they've added this rolling out, and Google has confirmed this. The multi-view lets you watch four different shows on the same time. The feature is going to have from the home tab, where you can include streams and like top picks for you and watch multi-view. But right now it only works with sporting events. So I'm hoping they're looking to expand this. I think that's the biggest thing here, is not everybody like Jeff, you're not a sports fan. Why would you want this? So you'd want it to be able to watch multi-view of other channels if you wanted to. I mean, they have it for news and they have it for weather, but then sports is the big one right now with the March Madness going on right now with the NCAA tournament. Don't be surprised. I haven't even looked today. I wonder if there's going to be six instead of four to be able to watch all these games. So what do you think, Marty, on this?
I have a hard enough time watching one thing at a time. And, you know, I have, like I said, I have three monitors in this office, and one of them is always running something that I'm not paying attention to. So, yeah, if it's only restricted to sporting events, that's going to kind of restrict my interest in it, too. So, yeah, I'm glad it's on portable. I'm glad it's that option is there. And I am a YouTube TV subscriber, so it has particular meaning to me. But again, not a big sports fanatic. So,
right.
It would be great if it extends to other channels. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. How about you, Ben? You are muted, Ben.
This might work better.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, if you're looking for a modern cable alternative for cord cutters, YouTube TV is the one. This just enhances that, especially for sports watching.
I'm especially happy I switched, and we've talked about that before. So yes, I agree. YouTube TV is pretty good. Last but not least, a sports fan we know, Jeff Gamet, what do you think?
I cannot wait to be able to watch sports ball on one screen, the other sports ball on the other screen, and then synchronized swimming, and then something else that I haven't even discovered yet. No, actually, the idea of being able to do something like this outside of the sports world makes sense to me. Like if you're a news junkie, you want to be able to have multiple things that you can watch at the same time. And, you know, like maybe if there's a major weather event happening where you are, you can have a couple of your local channels up showing what's going on, and then maybe the weather channel up so you can keep track of the overall weather patterns. And then Gilligan's Island, so you can be prepared for what to do when your 3-hour tour crashes. Anyhow, point is, I can see where this is actually a valuable selling tool for YouTube TV.
Yeah, no, I cannot agree more. So let's see what happens, because I've been anxiously waiting to have a lot of this change with MultiView. Again, yeah, I like to watch sports, but you know, I like to be able to watch other things too. And if you're a news junkie,
I think YouTube is offering more sports options too. Yeah. Because there are some channels that are coming up that I'm seeing on my screen that are going to arrive soon. And I think it's all about sports. So it fits with that, if that's the case.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. A couple more iPad stories I wanted to talk about here. This really caught my eye here. There's still something special about the 2018 iPad Pro. And I have one of those. And I have the 12.9-inch one that I use. And this is from 9to5 Mac, and they say here it deserves a prominent spot in the Apple Hardware Hall of Fame. No other product Apple's ever has remained so functional and for so long and without appearing long in the tooth. The 11-inch 2020 iPad Pro specifically has held up extraordinarily well over 5 years ago now. And the thing is about the 2018 iPad Pro is it has been replaced 3 times so far. Yet what it offers can be mistakenly as a state-of-the-art user experience. Most computers from 5 years ago simply don't hold up. I guess the HomePod, he says, is the best exception, or there's the product that left the market with a reputation for failing over time, only to return virtually unchanged. So I mean, I've got the old original HomePods. I believe you probably do too, Marty.
I've got two of them, and they're rarely on.
Yeah, exactly. I have the pair up here, but I do use them for my sound to TV here, but no, I kind of tend to agree with this, because you know, this is the A15 processor, A16 processor in the 2018 model, if I'm not mistaken.
Is 17? That the third gen model?
Yeah, I think the 2018, I think, was, yeah, it's like two versions prior to the M1, so probably A17. But no, it's a solid, good iPad. Did you own that iPad one point, Marty, 2018?
Yeah, I did. And then sold, you know, again, the swap in to get an M1, and, you know, so upgrading it. But yeah, I think there are going to be products. And I really think with the Apple Silicon chip, mm-hmm. you know, talking about products that are sustainable over a period of time, I think that's going to add a whole generation of those kinds of products that people will hang on to, people will have good feelings about them. And they'll still be very useful years from now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Well, as we've been talking, I've reached behind me and I grabbed my 12.9-inch iPad Pro because mm-hmm. you know, after a while, you forget what year it was. And right. I just double checked. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I have, the 2018. Yeah. And here you can see why I'm questioning, will I need to replace it anytime soon? Because this thing is a workhorse.
It is.
I think what's more likely to happen, unless Apple introduces a new model that is significantly better than what's available today, I'll just put a new battery in this one and keep going.
Yeah, might as well.
This is a fantastic machine.
Yeah, it really is. So let's talk about a did you know? Did you know you can actually hum to search on YouTube and YouTube Music? I did not know this. Google has rolled this out. It's a hum to search feature on the YouTube Music app. The song search feature will work similarly to YouTube. To search a song, you go to search microphone icon and song. And to search that song on YouTube Music, it just go. And I find this to be fascinating. I haven't had a chance to try it. I just found this article the other day. And I did not know you could do this. Did you guys, any of you guys know this?
Dave, I think you should do a, I think you should do a live demo right now.
No, I'm not.
Dave needs to do a live demo right now.
No.
I saw this and could not resist trying it.
Oh,
and
you did,
I tried two different AC/DC songs. I tried to hum it. It didn't work. I think you shook me all night. Shook me all night long. Did not work. Then I decided, well, I'm going to do la, 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 because I can hold that pitch better. So I did that, you know, for an intro to an AC/DC song. It gave me back in a return La La Land. You know, because I was saying so, la, la, la. So,
Marty, are you a singer?
You know, I would say, yeah, okay. I am a singer.
Okay. So the reason I asked is because I was wondering, is there a correlation with an ability to sing and an ability to get an accurate answer back to your hum query? And if you couldn't hold a tune at all, maybe that was the problem. But since you can sing, I'm going to go with YouTube just doesn't know quality music.
Well, my daughter sings opera and teaches opera, and she got those from my genes. And
nice.
So you asked me that, not professionally, but I you know, that traces back to my mom. So my wife's side of the family,
more than qualified to hold a tune.
Different. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So,
but not according to YouTube.
That's on them.
That is. Well, give it a shot. I'd like to hear anybody to send me an email, feedback@intouch.ios.com, and let me check this. So checking in to the show notes here at youtube.com/intouchwithios. I don't know if people talking about if they tried humming or not, and Cletus said, cool, it worked. I have to try this hum option. It did work for him. Marty, you'll have to share with us what song you actually hummed for it to work.
I tried Back in Black.
I'm sorry, Cletus. I apologize. Cletus.
Oh.
I meant Cletus.
All right, Cletus, and now you have to hum Back in Black.
It worked for a Game of Thrones theme. Huh. Okay. Sorry, I meant to say Cletus. I'm looking at Marty, and I'm looking at Cletus's name on the chat here. And Marty's like, what are you talking about?
Rocking out.
You are rocking out here. So interesting. So I thought the last thing we should talk about this week is about the Vision Pro, because Marty has the Vision Pro. We did talk to Dylan Stewart a couple weeks back when he first got it. And now we got Marty here who has the Vision Pro. And I would love to hear what your experience is now. You've had it's been a little over a month now, right? And yep. And are you continuing to use it? Are you happy with your purchase?
Yeah. First of all, I realized I paid for it in entirety. So I won't get a weekly reminder or a monthly reminder of guilt that I spent money on this thing.
Yeah.
And really don't have that guilt at all. I don't have any buyer's remorse whatsoever.
Okay.
I spend about 2 hours a day on it, often in the morning and often in the evening. And it is my morning organizer. So I'm going through sorting tasks. I'm using OmniFocus 4 on it, Apple Mail and Messages, and also Fantastical on it. And that kind of lets me know what I'm doing today, what I'm going to do it, what I have to do. And occasionally when I'm on it, I'll start getting text messages from people and we'll respond to it. The Yes Lady is much better at doing that and acting as an interface than anything else I've seen. So I'm enjoying it. I have a couple of relaxation games that I'll play, and I'm not a gamer. I'm not like Ben, but they're 3D puzzle games, essentially. And it's really quite unique to be able to move things around in a space and create a 3D object. So I'll use that for relaxation or to kind of interrupt workflow. But I get my stuff together in the morning, then I come up here in the office and work on it, or go to school and work on it there. And then the evening is going through what I've done, what I haven't done, and some entertainment. I haven't seen the problems that other people are reporting. And this might be my bad luck with all Apple products, that I don't have the problems that everybody's complaining about on. So I have a very, you know, people are saying, well, this isn't doing this and this isn't doing that. I just don't see that. So I don't know what it is. I see the platform growing, just not fast enough for folks who have kind of goldfish-like attention spans. It's going to take some time, but it's everything's there to make it really good. But some of the naysayers are like, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. I really needed to do that. Now's not the time for you to get into the platform then. So, but I'm enjoying the heck out of it. Yeah. Movies, fantastic. Entertainment device. I want this to be more than just an entertainment device. I want it to have some productivity capabilities for me. And that's what I'm working on now.
That's great. That's great. And I still have not done the demo yet. I need to go do the demo. I don't know what I'm waiting for. It might be the time when I go buy my M3.
You know, the problems with the demos is that they're contained. And if you really enjoy Apple and Mac products and you know how to use them, you want to start doing things that the demo doesn't allow you to do. It doesn't allow you to play like the way that you know how to play and want to play to enjoy the object. But it is tremendous to see.
Just to be able to see it. Yeah, it's a little, I don't, like you said, it's a little out of people's budgets, really, because it's quite a good big investment. But it's great that you were able to do that and be able to enjoy it, because Dylan Stewart said he had a great time. He's really enjoying it too, and I'm glad to hear you do as well. So, before we wrap up, I want to make put out an announcement there. The fact that MacStock 8 is coming, and it's finally announced. I'm so excited. Got a link in the show notes. It's MacStockConferenceAndExpo.com, and yours truly is going to be speaking for a 8th time. I think it is. I didn't speak during the pandemic years, but I think it's my 8th time that I'm speaking since the beginning, as everybody knows.
Cool.
It's very cool. And also Marty Gensius is speaking again, which I'm excited about. He's also doing what they've created is a workshop. So you have a weekend pass plus workshops, an extra 90 minutes of in-depth interaction and learning at MacStock 8. And those will happen on that Friday, because it's Friday, July 12th through Sunday, July 14th. So are you excited about the workshops? Cause I'm excited. I know that we're still working through some of the topics yet. I don't have my topic just yet, but I'm working on it. And
I'm going to be doing something on practical applications of AI, trying to get people with their devices to kind of step through the kind of thing that Jeff talked about that I talked about last year, which was how do you get out of it? What you really want to get out of it. And then I've got another session proposed during the weekend, which is about trying to pass the burden on of being everybody's tech help. You know, everybody winds up in this group and at MacStock winds up being everybody's tech help. And that's about the people who are asking for our help and how do we fix that and what tools can we give them to be a little bit more self-sufficient.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely. So I'm excited. So far, we've got myself and Jeff Gamet. But you're going to be speaking again this MacStock 8. Mm-hmm. I'm sure excited about that.
Yeah, of course I'm excited.
Yeah,
and me too. Now I'm even more excited because, Marty, I absolutely want to be there for your follow-up presentation to last year.
Yeah. Oh, I think we have to too. So far, we got Wally Trzezinski is going to speak, as well as Dave Hamilton's coming back. I'm excited about that. He's always a great speaker. And Chuck Joyner, of course, and Mike Schmitz and Allison Sheridan are the announced speakers so far. Mike and Allison will also be doing workshops, which I'm really excited about as well. So it is a full 3 days of great things. And the other great thing about it is the location has now changed. It's at a hotel and a conference center, and you're going to be able to spread out. We'll actually be able to not have to go to multiple locations, which is great. This venue is at the Elara Convention Center, which is the Holiday Inn, which is in Crystal Lake, Illinois. So we're staying in the same area where MacStock has always been, right near Woodstock and Crystal Lake. The school was in the Crystal Lakes too, so it's the same area. And they've got a great full hotel as well as a hangout space that they're going to give us, and as well as restaurants and food and all kinds of fun stuff. And so it's going to be great because it's going to be in one place that you go to. And it works out really well. So I'm excited.
It looks like there's opportunities for breakout rooms, and and also we're not dealing with necessarily a theater style, an elevated theater style. It's like a conference center.
It is. It is an actual conference center. So the theme this year is level up. It's level up your productivity, and then you know, that'll give us some great topics from everybody. Wally Krasinski is going to be doing the film festival, the Max Doc Short Film Festival. That's the third annual, and so you could, anybody as an attendee can join that too as well. So with all this in place, this is just an amazing great thing here. You got two plans you can get a weekend pass, which is just Saturday and Sunday. But if you want to get those, you want to really pay that extra money here and go with the weekend pass plus the workshops. Now, it starts for $399. I think that's a pretty fair price considering any of all this great information that you're going to be able to find out for three full straight days, including be able to get the digital passes after the conference. And you know, we had some great sessions last year. Why not do it again this year? So I hope to see everybody out there. Again, the link is in the show notes here. It's maxdocconferenceandexpo.com. It's right on that homepage there, and you can go and register. You also can get discounts for the hotel stays as well. They got some great rates for the hotel, so for those 3 days. So that's another great place, a great way to stay and be in one place and have fun. I think this is going to probably be the most fun we'll ever have, and stay in one place, because we've always had to go to multiple places to have fun, but now we can be in one place. So I'm looking forward to it. Hope, Ben, you can make it out this year. I think this is crossing your fingers that you can make it. We're going to. One of these days we get to see you in person, and that's probably a good time to do it, because all of our friends are coming, and some new friends. We'll be meeting some new folks as well. So I'm really, really looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check it out again, max.conferenceandexpo.com. And thanks to everybody here that's made the show this week. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up. And that's a wrap for this week. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions to our email address, which is feedback@intouchwithios.com. You can follow the show on Mastodon at intouchwithios at techhangout.social. Support the show by buying me a coffee at intouchwithios.com/coffee. We would really appreciate it. You can become a patron of the show by going to patreon.com/intouchwithios. We have two tiers available to support the show, and we really appreciate it. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe so you're notified when we are live streaming, which is on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, just like Cletus did in the YouTube channel and our chat, which is youtube.com/intouchwithios, where you can watch the current and past live streams, as well as listen to past shows. Visit In Touch with iOS Magazine on Flipboard, where many of the topics we discussed are flipped into that magazine. You can find that link in our show notes. You can subscribe to the show in your favorite podcatcher, including Pocket Casts, Overcast, Apple Podcasts with transcripts, and many others. But better yet, go to our website, which is intouchwithios.com, where all the links to all the ways to listen to us is on our website. I am Dave Ginsberg, and you can find me on Mastodon at davedg65@mastodon.cloud. Marty Gentius, thank you so much for being here. What a great time to have you for our first-time guest. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Gentius, Gencius, at mastodon.social, and also podcast Tech Savvy, the Tech Savvy Professor podcast, and Circular Firing Squad podcast.
All right. Got a link in the show notes for those podcasts as well. Jeff Gammon, thank you as always for being here. Where can people find you?
Dave, it's always a treat to get to hang out, so thank you. How about on social media? Jay Gammon on everything, except I realized just recently on LinkedIn it's Jeff Gammon. But I'm active mostly on Mastodon, Instagram, and Threads. Then for shows, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, then here with you on In Touch with iOS on Thursday nights. On the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. And Brian Chaffin and I also do The Context Machine.
All right. Thank you so much. And last but certainly not least, Ben Rathick. So glad you're here. Where can people find you?
Well, Dave, you can find me at Ben Rathick on your social media of choice. You can find my writings at raythink.tech. On Tuesdays, you can find me on In Touch. You can find me on Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner on most Thursday days, except for when British Summertime and U.S. Daylight Saving Time are not in alignment. You can find me on The Big Show on the British Tech Network, and every Friday you can find me on The Mac Show on the British Tech Network.
All right. Thank you so much, Ben. And thank you for listening. We really appreciate it because we enjoyed doing the show, and we hope you enjoyed listening to it and watching it. And we'll talk again soon.